بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، قال الله سبحانه وتعالى بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومن أحسن قولا ممن دعا إلى الله وعمل صالحا وقال إنني من المسلمين، صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: فوالله لأن يهدي الله بك رجلا واحدا خير لك من حمر النعم، وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. الحمد لله، all praises be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are seated here with a concern for deen. Ibn Jawzi rahmatullahi, he writes of this incident. It took place in Egypt. So the muazzin of the Jami Masjid, the main masjid of Egypt, he climbed up the minaret to call out the azan. When the muazzin reached the top, then the muazzin's glance, his eyes fell on one of the rooftops, and seated there was a beautiful Christian girl. So when the muazzin's eyes fell on her, he thought to himself that she's new in the neighborhood, so after this adhan I need to introduce myself. So accordingly, the muazzin goes over and he knocks at that door. Now the girl's father opens the door, and the muazzin is speaking to the girl's father. And in that conversation, the muazzin comes to know that girl who's on the rooftop, she's not married. So he didn't waste time, he put in his proposal. His father made a condition. He says to that muazzin that you can have the daughter, but the condition is, na'udhu billah, you become a Christian. Now there's something called the intoxication of passion. When a person is intoxicated in some desire, he wants to go somewhere, or he wants to have something, or he wants to see something, he wants to meet someone. So for that moment, when that's in his mind, his intelligence switches off, and it's just his passion and desire in front of him. So for that moment, the only thing that was in front of the muazzin was that Christian girl. So he agreed. He agreed to the father. So the father says, okay, let's go to the rooftop, we can discuss further. So understand now, the muazzin has left the fold of Islam, is into Christianity, and is walking up the stairway. Ibn Jawzi rahmatullahi writes, the muazzin is climbing up the stairway, his foot slipped, and then he fell, and he twisted his neck, and he died. So he failed to get the girl. Ultimately, he failed to get Allah. He lost in this world. Ultimately, he lost in the year after forever. So we all are sitting here now. Inshallah, we're sitting with that quality of Iman in Islam. But none of us got guarantee. Guarantee of death on Iman. You see, while we are sitting here, the enemy who's outside can't walk inside and pull out the Iman from our hearts. The enemy can't do that. But what the enemy can do is, the enemy can attack something. And when that something is attacked, Allah Ta'ala save us, our Iman is in danger. So what's that something that the enemy may try to attack? Before I mention that something, you see, man by nature, when there's temptation, when there's some sort of attraction in front of him, then there's an inclination in a direction he wants, because he's got desire within him. Allah Ta'ala loves us. Allah Ta'ala has placed within us a natural braking system. That a person is driving at 240 and he's about to crash, and then he presses the brakes and his life is saved. The man is about to crash into sin, which may cost him his iman. Allah Ta'ala has placed within us a natural braking system. Now what's that natural braking system? That's something which the enemy is trying to attack. And that natural braking system is called haya. In simple words, modesty, shame. If we look at the deeper meaning, it's an inner feeling where the man can't tolerate. He can't tolerate sin. Just the thought of sin is disgusting. So Allah Ta'ala has placed haya and shame within us. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to highlight the importance of this haya, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned more or less, إِنَّ الْحَيَا وَالْإِيمَانِ قُرِنَا جَمِيعًا. When we speak of haya and iman, this modesty and this faith, they are completely joined, inseparable. And then Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam warned us, when one leaves, the other leaves. Allah Ta'ala save us if a person's shame is gone. Next to go is iman. It's a very sensitive quality which Allah Ta'ala has placed within us. So just to highlight five areas to be on our guard. The enemy will try through many areas, but just to highlight five for today. One is dressing. We need to understand one of the fastest ways, one of the easiest ways of losing that shame and modesty is the dressing. Muslim understands, I need to be concealing, covering myself. I can't be revealing. Whether I'm cycling, whether I'm exercising, whether I'm gymming, whether I'm swimming, I have to be covering myself. Because the Muslim understands, when I start opening, my shame is going. And the shame goes, that iman is in danger. So covering of the self, the dressing. And you see, at times what happens is, mashallah, we're wearing the kurta. But beneath the kurta, there's one bermuda at times. And that becomes an issue in the wuzukhana. Because the person who's wearing that bermuda is just slightly below his knees. When he sits on that wuzukhana seat, that bermuda lifts. And the man's knee is open. It's part of his satr, that which ought to be concealed and covered. And he doesn't realize. But after a period of time, he gets used to that. And then once he starts opening and revealing, that shame is going. He doesn't realize it's maybe a gradual process, but his shame is leaving him. So the dressing. And then sometimes what happens to the women folk, there's a family function. And then the women feel that there's only women there. There's no men in that area. So then her scarf is missing at times. Or maybe the sleeves are missing. Or the pants goes missing. She feels there's no men around. But what she needs to be reminded is, when she starts opening and revealing, the haya is going. The shame is going. So the dressing. Muslim is always covering well. And then sometimes what happens in the masjid, you see, with time, the man who gets caught up in fashion, he doesn't realize it's a calculated effort. See, the garment, the trousers and the pants, with time, what they are doing, they make it a very small cut at the top. So you can try and pull the trouser how high you want, it can't go higher. Because they want the whole world to see what is the color of the underpants. And today, it's become so sad. A man is proud. He's proud to show his underpants. Where's the intelligence gone? Muslim is intelligent because he has iman and he realizes, leave the fashion aside. I need to be covering myself. And the man who comes to the masjid like that, and sometimes maybe that t-shirt his mother bought him when he was 5 years old. So it's stuck to his body now. And he's going down for that sajda. And now when he goes down for that sajda, that trouser goes further down, and that t-shirt up, and his private area, the back is open, that salah is gone. So the thing is addressing. Muslim understands, I need to be covering myself. I can't afford to lose my shame. I can't put my iman in danger. So one is dressing. Two is company. At times we limit company to physical, maybe friends, maybe places. Let's look at company in different angles. Cell phone is company. Now the man, he's chatting to strange women and he says, "No, Molana, you see my heart is very clean. You see, if the heart was so clean, the man won't be chatting to strange women." What he doesn't realize, every casual chat with that strange woman, the man's shame is going with it as well. And while we're at that cell phone, you see, at times this world today is becoming a very selfish world. When we speak of selfish world, that selfish selfie, you see, one is the ummah is forgetting Nabi says one line. When Nabi Karim sir warned us, the people who will get the most severe punishment on the day of judgment are the picture makers. Now, almost every man today, he's in love with himself. You see that heart, if it's not filled with the love of Allah and the love of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that man falls in love with himself. Self-love, self-admiration, and then he comes onto selfish selfies. And an average man comes in from Umrah and Hajj, he'll say with a broken heart that, you know, Mulana, there were more flashes in that camera or in that tawaf, in that haram, than the tawaf taking place. What are we doing to the haram sharif? And then sometimes there's one selfish family standing there, posing in front of the Kaaba sharif. So the whole tawaf must stop, because man has become selfish today. One, he's forgotten the forbidden nature of all of these things, but then he has fallen in love with himself. So that cell phone, that type of chatting, that shame is going. Then we take the visual company. Do we know what that screen has done to our children? It's a calculated effort. Those scenes on those forbidden television screens are not put there by mistake. It's a calculated effort. A young child of today knows more about the bedroom than what a young couple of yesterday came to know before marriage. And it's all happening with the full blessings of the parents. The children are in front of that screen. That screen is programming those minds. How to think, what to do, what to desire, what to want in life. So that visual company. And then we speak of written company. Newspaper, a magazine, a novel, these are companies in the written form. And whether it's the front page or the back page of the newspaper, those are not pictures put there by mistake. Those are haya attacking pictures, attacking the man's shame. Now a man will say, "Molana, you just hold on now. You see, Molana, I'm chatting, I'm watching, I'm reading. Nothing is happening to me." The one who says nothing is happening to me, it's a warning sign that everything already happened. Those curtains of haya, of shame, have already been drawn down. That's why the man suddenly feels nothing. Otherwise, the man who's got that true level of haya and shame, he understands that newspaper is dangerous for me, because my eyes have not been trained enough. It's falling on those pictures and it's attacking me. It's dropping me. So the dressing, the company. The third one is the food. You see, if the man, he planted potatoes, then tomatoes won't grow. The man who eats haram, it's very difficult for halal actions to come out of their body. You know, sometimes the man feels, "I just can't wake up for that Fajr Salah. Or I just can't hold a Qur'an Majid and recite a page of Qur'an." He needs to just look into his eating. What am I eating? Am I just eating anything and from anywhere? Because when haram and doubtful goes in there, then it's very difficult for goodness to come out of that body. And sometimes maybe one drug goes in, or some alcohol goes down. And now different persons have different addictions. Now the question is, how the man comes out of an addiction? So elders mention, to come out of any weakness and bad habit is, what it requires is himmat, courage. Now, where do we get courage? see, for the milk you get from the milkman. Courage you get from the men of courage. And we speak of men of courage, we're speaking of Rijalullah, the men of Allah, the pious. Now the question will arise, Mulana, you mean to say that you just go by the pious man and you get the courage? Now to understand that is, if there's a fire burning in the front, all we need to do is go and sit by that fire. That fire does not need to give us a talk how to feel hot. Now in the company of a silent dead fire, there's a transfer of heat. Now when you speak of pious men, they are not dead men. They are living, super living men. We need to go with an open heart, heart of love. That Allah Ta'ala, I'm not going there to learn something because I know too much of Allah. I'm going there to get some courage. The man got courage in his heart, such courage. You know, doing the wrong. Allah Ta'ala gives these men such courage that the eyes, because strong is not picking up the 100 kilos in the gym. The man is walking in the street and there's something pretty ugly walking in his direction. You know what strength it requires to put the gaze down? These men live looking at the wrong. Allah Ta'ala has given them such strength that the mind is controlled. What the man is thinking, otherwise, before we sleep at times, there are thoughts going through the mind. We saw someone in the day and she's going through the mind. Protection of the mind. So the food, the dressing, the company. The fourth one is the music. Music is no more music. We need to understand very well, music has become the religion of Satanism. And every singer today is physically worshipping Shaitan. We worship Allah. You see, I'm standing in the front here, and I'm speaking, and I'm hoping those who are listening, the good that is spoken will become good. When an average singer is singing today, the intention is those who are listening, you become Satanists. And you know what's happening? You see, an average person wants fun today. We want pleasure. And Shaitan wants kufr and shirk. So Shaitan takes that kufr and shirk and packages it as some music show, some festival, some rage or some rave. And the youngster and that Muslim, he wants to party and have some fun, not realizing he's biting and he's losing his iman. Because as a youngster who comes out of those places, the shamelessness, the impurity, what happens on that floor? The man went for fun and he lost everything in the process. So the thing is, we don't go in those environments, especially in this time of the year. Sometimes we feel, no, I won't be active. I just, you know, passive, just driving by, you know, just taking my children for a drive. We don't realize our drive down there, that's our presence. And our presence is adding to the crowd. And that is adding to the glory of that whole celebration. So we don't even experiment. No, I don't do. I only see. We don't even try. Because it's all entering that heart. And it's only within time that a person suddenly feels he's immune. And then he enters into these dangerous territories. So music is no more music. A person gets music out of their life before that music takes a person out of the fold of Islam. So the dressing, the company, the food, the music, and the last one, the eyes. You see, we all know very well that the women of today, they are dressed to kill. They are hunting us down. You see, we all are sitting here cool and calm now. But if there's one woman standing in front here, we'll start melting, and if you don't melt, then we need to go Hakim Saab, doctor, because as a man by nature, when the eye sees something, then the heart desires it. And what we don't realize, initially it's just seeing what's on the street, and then the man, he feels that boring, and then he's on the cell phone, and then he's looking at pornography. You know what he's doing? Let me start with the single, the one who's not married. You know what's happening to an average youngster today? When it's time to get married, he can't get married. He's lost his manhood. Because he was looking at those things on the screen. And he thought he was enjoying himself, not realizing it brought feelings. And then there was no pious wife, or there was no lawful wife. So he was trying everything else out. And in the process, he lost everything, his manhood. And then let's come to the married man. You know how sad it's becoming? You see, these eyes are very sensitive. And that heart is even more sensitive. When a person doesn't control, then he pollutes it. And then he spoils it. He spoils his appetite to such an extent that after marriage, he's got a lawful, wholesome wife. But she brings no feeling within his heart. Because he's been looking at other things. He spoilt his appetite. His appetite wants filth. It wants sewage. So what happens? He's married. But what he does, he goes in another bedroom. And he's looking at filth on that screen. And after he feels he's enjoyed himself, then leftovers, he goes to his wife. And it doesn't work out. Doesn't work out. Then you find an average marriage when he falls down in divorce, and excuses are given at times that she had a, you know, sharp tongue or he was short-fused. But many a time, the core reason is the bedroom. And it all started off with the eyes. And what we don't realize, every gaze at that strange woman, be it in the screen or live, that shame and haya is going with it. And if that shame goes, let Allah save us, that iman is in danger. So those eyes... Now we're going to end off now, and we're going to end off positive. Because all of us need to walk out of this masjid today with some hope. You see, when a person goes to the hospital, he goes to an ICU ward. And then there's a patient lying there. Patient that's completely paralyzed. No movement in the hands, no movement in the feet. And then one visitor walks in with a bush knife in the hand. And then the patient can see danger. But he can't run because he's paralyzed. And then that visitor comes along and starts slicing the toes of the patient. Patient can cry, but he can't save those toes because his hands can't move. An average man today has spiritually paralyzed himself. And you know the proof of it? We all are sitting here now for Jummah Salah. In a few hours' time will be Asr Salah. We all want to come for Asr Salah. But you know what happens? Those feet are spiritually paralyzed. It just can't walk to the masjid. Tomorrow is Saturday and then Sunday and we've got free time. And we want to recite Qur'an-i Majid. But you know what happened? That hand is physically paralyzed. It just can't hold the Qur'an. So the thing is, how do we come out of that ICU? How do we get life again? You see, the heart is here. To the heart, there's four roads. The two M's and the two E's. The mouth and the mind, the eyes and the ears. The man looks at good. He listens to good. He speaks good. He thinks good. The heart is good. Heart is healthy. The man got life. He can make zikrullah now. He can make it to the masjid. He can recite Qur'an-i Majid. He can come on to salah. There's a change in the life. So the thing is protecting this eyes, protecting those ears, protecting that mouth, what we speak, protecting that mind. Allah Ta'ala give us a correct understanding. Just to end off on one ruling. As men, we go toilet. We all know istinja, to wash the private area. But many of us are forgetting an important ruling of istibra, that after passing urine, to remove those drops from the passageway. Otherwise, what's happening today is, we made that urine, we washed, and by the time we reached the wuzu khana, we are dripping. The toilet didn't come right. When will the wuzu come right? When will the salah come right? So an easy way to get those drops out, while we're in the squatting position, after passing that urine, between that bag and the back opening, there's a vein running there. to gently press that vein. When we're comfortable that and all the drops are out, slightly we come up, we press that vein a few times until all the drops are out. Then we wash, then we come out. Allah Ta'ala give us a correct understanding, ability to practice, pass on to others. وَآخِرُ دَوَانًا وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ